Happy Thursday morning, everybody. Thursday, December 8th, 2022. It's the Best at Sea Cruise and Travel News Update podcast brought to you by The Snood Factory. www.thesnoodfactory.com, your home for Made in USA clothing to keep your pooches and your puppies warm. Tom Drake. Here we are in St. Kitts, the beautiful island of St. Kitts. I don't know if it's that beautiful, but it's nice today. The weather is spectacular. Chamber of Commerce Day, about 77 degrees, a little breezy, lots of sunshine. It's a great day for the guests as we finish up a 12-day cruise ending in Barbados the day after tomorrow. St. Kitts recently built an infrastructure when you arrive that has everything Americans want. It has the tchotchke shops, the t-shirt shops. It has the little stands where you can get drunk. It has the Diamonds International, lots of other things. So you can take the wife off, buy her a bracelet, a necklace, and then sit at a bar, get hammered, and come back on board. And it's the perfect destination for Americans. Now, if you want to go further, then you can go on tour. There's lots of things to see in the island. But it is nice. I'll be walking off the ship probably a little bit later and take a walk around. And I might have a beverage or two. Why not? I'm in the Caribbean. It's time now for On This Day, but here's the thing. This might be the final week of doing On This Day. We might just go right to what's happening in the cruise industry because I'm finding it more and more difficult to find anything fun to talk about on this day. If you look at history, go into Wikipedia or Britannica or History.com, everything is plane crashes, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, murders. There's nothing really good. And I'm supposed to be upbeat when I start this. You're not supposed to listen to this and get depressed. Anyway, on this day in 1980, John Lennon was shot in the back 4 or 5 times by that whack job, Mark David Chapman. We all know, very much like Kennedy, everything, everybody knows where they were. I don't remember where I was when John Lennon was shot, but the true Beatle fans, they remember. They were in tears for weeks. This guy, Mark David Chapman, first of all, nobody embraces the criminal better than New York State and New York City. They feel bad for the criminal, and the hell with the guy that got shot in the back. Because Mark David Chapman, he got 20 years to life. They tried to say he was nuts. He is nuts, but he wasn't nuts to the right amount. So he got 20 years to life, and believe it or not, he's allowed regular conjugal visits. He got married. So since 2014, his wife is allowed to visit him. They have like a house, like a fake house where you can live with your wife for a certain amount of time. He gets visits from his family and a few friends. And, you know, this guy murdered John Lennon. Sorry, and he's never been granted parole. He's tried 12 times for parole, but every time they turn it down, because when you read the transcripts, he's still nuts. I mean, it's unbelievable. He says, yeah, I know I shouldn't have shot him, but, you know, I shouldn't even look at this stuff, because before he shot him, he had John Lennon sign an album, and he admitted John Lennon was such a nice guy. He was patient and everything else, but I still shot him in the back because I had the gun. Hello. Anyway, but see, I got to give up on this day. Let's get right to it. I got this story from a friend, a good friend of mine, Stevie. Steve sent me this. He saw it on a website called Newsbreak. I'd never heard of Newsbreak. Believe it or not, it's from the Philippines. And they specialize in having local journalists from all over the world write stories from that, wherever they are. So this was a Miami-based story, and the story is about Royal Caribbean, and it's about overbooking. I didn't think there was any overbooking going on right now since the pandemic. They were just hoping to fill the ships. But according to this story on Newsbreak, or in Newsbreak, Royal Caribbean overbooked the Wonder of the Seas for a cruise leaving in a couple days, December 11th. And there was a group of people that all had balcony cabins, upper level cabins, and they were told politely that they don't have it. The inventory disappeared. It just went nowhere. So, but Royal Caribbean offered them inside cabins, lower area, lower decks, inside cabin, and then all their money back and a future cruise credit for another cruise. That's pretty darn good. I mean, that's really covering up for your mistake in a way. They shouldn't overbook, but it's been happening all the time. Pre-pandemic, everybody overbooked, because they, especially in the upper premium luxury, because they figure that age group, somebody's going to get sick, somebody's going to drop dead, so the cabin will become available again, and sometimes they don't. So you have to wheel and deal. It's a little close to the sale date. I think they waited a little too close, but I don't know whether the people are going to take it or not, but that's a pretty good deal. Except if you're excited to go on this 7-day cruise and you have to tell your family you're not going because somebody decided they were smarter than you are, we'll see what happens. Inside cabin, money back, cruise credit for another cruise. That's a pretty good deal. All right, MSC. I talk about MSC a lot. They're a force in the industry. There's no way to describe it otherwise. Their new ships are amazing. And yesterday in New York, they christened the MSC Scape. I mentioned it in an earlier update, that Sophia Loren would be the godmother for the 18th time. I was not aware at the time. I didn't misspeak. I just didn't know. She did it virtually. She remained in Italy, and the ship was christened in New York. She didn't feel like flying to New York, whatever. And the daughter of the founder of MSC actually broke the bottle on the side of the ship. That was fun. She's outside freezing her tuchus off in December, so they get christened in New York. But they had a big christening. Here's the thing. Now, this is an ego-driven business. They're all huge egos in this industry. And it's not enough to build the biggest and the best and the most amazing new ship. You have to have the biggest and the best christening. When they christened the Norwegian Prima in Reykjavik, right, it was Katy Perry came to sing. Everything's about who's going to sing at the christening. It's a big deal. Bring all the travel agents in. So yesterday in New York, they christened the MS Seascape, Matteo Bocelli performed. Yep, you got it. Same name. It's the son of Andrea Bocelli, and I guess he's now a rising superstar. He performed as well as Neo. I have no idea who the hell Neo is. I know he's appeals to a younger demographic, and that would be the travel planners and the travel agents that they're trying to woo, because in addition to christening the ship, they had a gala dinner for 3,000 invited guests. That makes sense. Their ships carry 5,000, 6,000 people. You know, we have to have 3,000 people invited for dinner. So they invited 3,000 people, and they had Matteo Bocelli, and they had Neo, and they all had a good time. And I'll tell you, you know, I didn't realize that this ship is called the Seascape. There's also one called the Seaside, and there's another one. I didn't know what was about. I just read about this. What they've done is on Promenade Deck. I have sometimes complained in previous updates that the new ships don't have a promenade deck anymore, because in order to have a promenade deck, it would mean you would have the lifeboats in front of stateroom windows, so you have obstructed view, and they're not as valuable as a view, so you lose revenue. Well, MSC did the right thing. Their promenade deck, which is usually deck 5, is not only available to sit, it's restaurants. You can go by. It's you can view. It's a viewing platform too. It's really cool, and that's why the Seascape and the Seaside, that's why they're called that. And I think that's a great idea. Plus, one of the ships has something called a Robotron. You know, this is when I wished I had the video again so you could see a picture of this. It's on the top of the ship. It's a big arm that you strap yourself into with a harness, like 5 or 6 people, and it swings you around as if you can't get enough seasick from the water. You want to get up there and see if you can throw something projectile in the air thanks to the ride. It's what appeals to young people, so congratulations. But keep an eye on MSC. Boy, oh boy, you know, the president of MSC USA, his name is Ruben Rodriguez. He gave a big speech at this christening, and he talked about the commitment that they're making. You know, they are part of the new terminal in Miami, the $450 million terminal for MSC, and they'll share it with Royal Caribbean. They're looking at a terminal in Port Canaveral. They are going to be home porting in New York, and they still expect 40% of their guests to be international. That's a little too much for me. I was already there as a comedian with 1,500 guests, and 900 of them spoke another language. But they are targeting the U.S. market, and they intend to give Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, and Celebrity a run for their money, and Princess too. Well, here's a story out of where I didn't put it down. I'm guessing it was Travel Weekly. Could have been Sea Trade. This is a story that probably thrilled some people and upset others, because Oceania Cruises has moved up the sailing of the new Allura class ship called the Vista. It's now going to sail May 13th instead of May 20th. Now, the reason I'm sure it upset some people is because it was pushed back, and the people that were pushed back got knocked out. They didn't get to go on the inaugural because the next cruise was sold out, and the cruise after that was sold out, the cruise after that was sold out. Now they decided that Fink and Thierry got their together, so they're going to bring it out 1 week early, May 13th, and it's a founder's cruise, and it will be hosted by the big boss, by Frank Del Rio, the founder of Oceania, now the chairman of Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings. Bookings went on sale yesterday, so if you're hearing this, it's probably sold out. Everybody wants to be on this ship when it comes out. I had dinner the other night with a couple that got bumped. They weren't happy about getting bumped, but they were on the inaugural, and in order to get on the inaugural, you had to book that 2 years ago. And of course, it wasn't sailing because Fink and Thierry was like, where's that wrench? So we'll see what happens. But if you're listening to this and you hear it, bookings opened up yesterday for the Vista 7-day cruise in the Mediterranean, hosted by Frank Del Rio. Check it out. So, Norwegian Cruise Line, again, this was in, okay, we'll call it Cruise Industry News. I forgot to put down where I got the stories from. Does it matter, really? This is not going to win a Pulitzer Prize for internet podcast anyway. NCL, somebody is listening to my podcast at the corporate office. I have been saying so for a year now. I do not like these cruises out of Miami with 2 C-days to get there and 2 C-days to get back. And the ones out of New York, 2.5 C-days to get to the Caribbean, 2.5 C-days to get back. I said in the old days, because I'm a dinosaur, we used to sail out of San Juan with a Norwegian wind. And we did 7-day out of San Juan with 6 ports. It was beautiful. This is pretty port intensive, right? It's great. I know old people like C-days. I don't like C-days. I don't think guests like C-days anymore. Maybe on, you know, even on the big ships where there's a lot of things to do, it's better to get off and go into port somewhere for a little while, just to pull in. Anyway, starting in 2024-25, Norwegian Cruise Line, they're doing 2 things. This is NCL now, not Oceania Region. They are extending their sailings, and also they're going to spend a lot more time in port. And also the Norwegian Viva, when it comes out, the Norwegian Viva will sail round trip San Juan with 7 ports, because they're counting San Juan as a port. That's a perfect cruise. You live in New York, you get on a JetBlue flight, you fly to San Juan, you're there in 3 hours. You get on the ship and you do 6 ports, because they're counting sets. 7 ports, you're in port every day, you're not bouncing around seawater. And then you get back on the plane, you fly home, and it's over in 9 days. It's a perfect, perfect cruise. Now, listen, you probably know this. Home porting has made Carnival very successful, because you can drive all the kids there and save a lot of airfare, because it's not cheap to fly anymore. But if you're just a couple in your 30s and 40s and you have some time off and you hop a jet on JetBlue, especially direct, and JetBlue's direct Orlando to San Juan, 2 hours and 20 minutes, I want to work this ship. I get on the plane, JetBlue has those bigger seats, I get there, we do 7 ports and we come on home. That's a beautiful thing. And the rest of it, I get that too. This is about sales. Selling a 7-day cruise is as much work selling a 10-day cruise, or a 12-day cruise, or 14-day cruise. Plus, when you go 12 and 14 and 15, which is Norwegian's idea, you change the demographic, obviously. It's another market. But as long as they're going to deliver really good food and service, you'll get the people that would rather the large ship than the small ship. There are advantages to being on a ship like this, size-wise, and there are disadvantages. You know, there's just bigger shows on the big ships, more nightclubs on those ships. So if you like both sides of it, I believe what they're doing at NCL is the right approach. They're going to change the level of food and service, bring it up higher and higher, and they're going to get it. Maybe what they'll get is to get the old guests back, because when I started with NCL a long, long time ago, it was a hell of a cruise line. I talk a lot about Christine. I always get her name wrong. Christine Duffy. She's the president of Carnival. I think Carnival's doing great things. Because I read all this stuff. You know the purpose of this podcast, right? Is I read it, then I tell you about it. And the reason I'm doing the podcast, if I didn't do the podcast, I would probably stop reading about it. And I like reading about it because I like to know what's going on in the business that's been paying me for almost 27, 28, a long time. Anyway, the new Carnival Celebration has rolled out a whole new kids program. That's what they do at Carnival. They're all about families. And you remember, you know, Disney charges an arm and a leg, arm and a turkey leg. It's expensive to go on Disney. But if you can't flip for Disney, you have to look at the Carnival Celebration. They've rolled out new programs, one of which is that they've expanded the Dr. Seuss program they have, where they do the characters from Dr. Seuss, such as Thing 1 and Thing 2 and the Cat in the Hat. I don't remember ever reading Dr. Seuss, but I know what the Cat in the Hat is. That they've expanded their turtle program. They have a program called with a range of activities where you have turtle play dates and turtle band and all kinds of things. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is they don't have the Disney Marvel characters, But at Disney, you marveled at the prices. So at Carnival, they have lots of things to keep the young people from age 2 on up occupied. You can drop them over the kids program, and then you can go, you know, slam down some tequila and try not to fall off the ship, because that's the other thing that Carnival does better than any other cruise line. All right. That's a pretty good update today. Lots of good stories in there. And pay attention to MSC. If you're in the travel industry, you already know that. I mean, they're coming on strong. I love what Norwegian's going to do. That's not until 24 or 25, but 7-day cruises. That is, watch the other cruise lines jump on this. I'm telling you, it's San Juan is a nice airport. It's easy to get to. They have a good infrastructure downtown. There's plenty of pier space. There's actually more than enough pier space, I think, 3 or 4 ships at once. Watch what happens there. It's a follow the leader business, and watch and see how much bigger every christening is going to be, because this business is run by a bunch of people with large egos. And then there's poor Tom Drake. Have a good Thursday. Tomorrow we're in Guadalupe. Or is it Guadalupe? I'll have to work on that. All right. Talk to you later.